We're turning now to the first epistle of John and the chapter 1. So we have these three epistles of John tucked into those pages which lie toward the close of the New Testament scriptures. And it's 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I'll do the reading myself on this occasion. We're looking at the 10 verses of the chapter, commencing verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Here the apostle is writing about the Savior. He's setting forth Christ and showing the privilege that the apostles and those who accompanied them had when they were fellowshipping with the Savior. They looked upon him with their eyes. They put forth their hand and they touched him. And they could say, this is the word of life. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, you could think about that little word, truly. Or an equivalent would be indeed. Indeed, our fellowship, or truly our fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word this day for his name's sake. I'd like you to put a marker there in the chapter for easy reference, so that if we turn elsewhere in the Bible, we'll get back to this portion as we require. Now let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask help from God. We need help from the Lord without doubt. And there are souls in this congregation who need special help from God. I can't exactly picture the circumstances in which this morning finds you, but the Lord knows all about you. Our steps are not hidden from him, nor are our thoughts. And the Lord has a word for your soul. And you have to say, it's got to be said, the responsibility falls upon you to say, Lord, speak to me, speak to my soul this day. And I fully believe the Lord will be pleased to do that. Let's ask the Lord to draw near. Our Father, we lift our hearts now to thee. We recognize how deep our need is. And we think of this godless generation. We're living, Lord, in a society that doesn't encourage us to go on with God. And we have long ago realized that the influences that are in the world are such as will turn us away from the Lord altogether. Lord, defeat the devil. Defeat the power of the world. Grant that to every child of God this day in this meeting, there will be deliverance. Lord, let it be a recognized deliverance that here and there and yonder in this congregation, with the variety of needs that men and women feel burdened down with, oh God, this day, may there be a lifting up for the downcast. May there be a word from God, if ever there was a word tailor-made to suit the needs of this soul and yon man or woman over yonder. Oh God, grant that thy word may just provide the key, that soul will be able to say, ah, the Lord has given me the answer. I'm happy now. Lord, grant that peace of soul. We pray that thou wilt lead us on with thyself. Help us in our meditation. We know that we need utterance in the things of God. We need to have such clear intimation of thy mind for this meeting as to say every second we stand here, this is the word of the Lord. O God, speak to our hearts, prepare us, and grant that having spent this little while around thy holy word, we may venture on now with God today, this week, and the days that are to come. Lord, make changes. Make changes in us and in our friends. And, O God, grant that even now thy name will be glorified in the preaching of thy word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, if you will, principally at those words in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This little epistle, only 5 chapters in it, has all to do with fellowship. You can see the word there in verse 7. We have fellowship, the one with the other. And this little epistle has all to do with fellowship. Fellowship with God, and fellowship with God's people. When you look at the first 3 verses, you have thoughts there about fellowship with God. And you can give attention to verses 1 and 3. And I'm going to focus on verse 3 just now. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What's the thrust of the message? What is this word the apostle is burdened to deliver? That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That, there it is, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there is the subject of fellowship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you come to verse 7, principally there, you're thinking about fellowship with God's people. And that's equally important. If we walk in the light as he, that is the Lord, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the subject even comes up in chapter 1. I said today, the leading subject in this little epistle is fellowship. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God's people. And we can't get very far into the reading of 1 John without coming across the word, without having to think about it. And let us all consider this subject now, the subject of fellowship. How we stand in regard to fellowship. How do we stand in regard to fellowship with God? How do we stand in regard to fellowship with one another, those who are in Christ? Now, needless to say, the subject of fellowship is most vital for the Christian in regard to his going on with God, in regard to his closeness to God, and also in regard to his communion with God. We've got to think of fellowship along those three lines: going on with God, closeness to God, communion with God. You have closeness indicated, I would suggest, in verse 1. And there the apostle is saying, we have heard the word, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon him, our hands have handled the very Son of God, we have leaned our weight upon him. And how about that for closeness? The apostle is writing here of his fellowship with the Lord, and he speaks about great closeness with the Lord. Then you can see also that fellowship relates to communion. And look at, verse 4, these things write we unto you. Again, verse 5, this then is the message. So when we think of the message, that's the Word of God. And that's all to do with communion, getting the Word of God. You can't really commune with God without a word from God, without getting that message in the Scriptures itself. So what is fellowship? Fellowship is closeness to God. Fellowship is communion with God, getting the Word of God. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And fellowship is going on with God. You can't say that you're in fellowship with God if you're not going on with God yourself. That stands to reason. Any soul in this service who can say, bless the Lord, I'm in fellowship with the King, then for a fact, you're going on with God. When you look at verse 7, you can see there, it's not the only verse to mention walk in the chapter, but it will do for now. But if we walk in the light, that is to say, if we keep on walking, that's the thought there, walking with God, keeping on walking with God. And that has to be classified as going on with God. That's all to do with fellowship and going on with the Lord. If I were to stop you and talk with you about your soul and how you stand with God, if you can say as a Christian, praise the Lord, my heart is full of joy, I'm going on with God, I'm enjoying fellowship with the King, that is sure enough how the Lord would have us see it. Now, when we talk about the fellowship of the Christian, first of all, fellowship with God, that's one of the privileges of the Christian. When the Lord saves you, think of this. When the Lord saves you, he brings you into fellowship with himself. And there are ever so many in this congregation. You can look back to the day when you were born of God, washed in the blood, made an inheritor of the kingdom of God, were joined to Christ everlastingly. And from that day on, you've had fellowship with God. There are times when our fellowship is not all that it should be. But nevertheless, from the day he saved, the Christian has the glorious privilege of having fellowship with God. See that there in verse 3? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So from the day one is converted, he has fellowship with God. Keep that marker in the place and turn across to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippi was a place where God wrought such a powerful miracle. When he sent the earthquake, saved the jailer, and other notable people were saved as well. That was a revival. It just thrills the heart to think of what God did at Philippi And then in the course of time, there was a little community of believers established in Philippi. And Paul writes, as you may well anticipate, with peculiar fondness for the people of God at Philippi. Oh, the place meant so much to him. He never could forget what happened that night at midnight in that old dark, dismal cell in the prison. That's when God broke through. The jailer was saved, revival had started, and souls were saved. Mind you, when I say revival, I'm not saying the whole city turned to God. I'm not saying there were multiplied thousands who came to the Lord either. But I'm saying, yes, God began a gracious work in Philippi. Souls were saved, and the nucleus of the church was formed. Now notice this, verse 3. Let me just summarize quickly what is being said. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Thank the Lord, Paul says. Every time I think about you people, you saints in Philippi, I just praise the Lord. Verse 4. Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. There's gladness in the heart of the apostle as he prays about them. And then he says this is what primarily is in his thoughts, for your fellowship in the gospel. That it is a fellowship in the gospel shows that fellowship commenced with their salvation, because it's described as a fellowship in the gospel. There's no other sort of fellowship that we would desire or want. There's no other fellowship that indeed is permissible to the believer but a fellowship in the gospel. And that begins with salvation then. It has all to do with the gospel. Then you'll see this. That fellowship for these believers, that fellowship with God, began the day they were saved. What does verse 5 say? From the first day until now. What does that first day tell me? That's the first day they were saved. Glory to God! You can remember in your own experience how you trusted Christ, what the Lord has done for your soul. You remember that? The first day you were saved. Where was it? Maybe at home, maybe in the mission, maybe in the church. I cannot say. But that first day is unforgettably fixed in your memory and in your soul. The day you were born of God. The day you trusted Christ. The day you started out for heaven. And the apostle is saying here, from the first day, the very first day you were saved, I thank God for the fellowship we have enjoyed in the gospel. So you see, isn't it abundantly clear that when God saves the soul, he brings that soul into the fellowship of the gospel, fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people from the first day. Then we'll see also in verse 5 the words until now. I don't know exactly how many years after the formation of the church this epistle was written. Let's just speculate a little bit for the sake of illustration. Suppose it's 20 years. Suppose it's 25 years even. Well, if that's the case, then these 25 years have all rolled away. But Paul says, I'm still thanking God. I'm still blessed in my own soul. I'm still rejoicing because of the fellowship we have had. And how long now? How long has it been? How long now is it since that fellowship began? He says, from the very first day, the day you were saved, the day you started out with God. Right through until now. Let's just surmise, 25 years further on in time. So the young folk have matured a lot in 25 years, and some who were young then are maybe not exactly classified as being young any longer. I'm not going to comment any more about that. But 25 years, it's just a guess, will have rolled away. And right up until now. Until now, he says. So you can observe there how that fellowship which began at conversion has gone on through the years, all the while, has gone on and on and on and on until now. Glory to God. I thank the Lord, he says, for that fellowship we have with you in the gospel. So the fellowship not only begins at conversion, but it continues on year after year as we venture on with God ourselves. It's got to be asked of you, what about your fellowship? What about your fellowship with God? Think about it carefully. It's so important. Closeness to God. Going on with God. Communion with God. What about your fellowship with God's people? Can you say, like the apostle, from the first day until now, I thank God for the fellowship of the people? You see, the two are brought together. There are lots of people in Lisburn, elsewhere, besides, who will want to say, yes, I'm in fellowship with God, but they're not in fellowship with anybody else. They're not in fellowship with the church. They're not, to be frank about it, they're not in fellowship with God's people. There's something missing there. There's something missing. You must keep in mind, as we ourselves this very day have gone through the verses of 1 John's epistle, 1 John chapter 1, you must see there the vital importance of having fellowship not only with God, but it is God's expressed will that you should have fellowship with his people. Let me show you this. Turn to Acts chapter 2. The subject is fellowship. I spoke already today the importance of fellowship with God, the importance of fellowship with God's people. Then we have indicated what that fellowship is. And we have shown how it started. Started with conversion. It has gone on in the intervening time. Even if 25 years have passed away, glory to God, you're still going on. Now Acts chapter 2 tells us, at verse 41, how 3,000 souls were converted in the revival at Pentecost. And what did they do? Well, verse 42 starts to recount to you what that revival has meant. Verse 42, and they, who are we talking about? They, the young converts, those who just now have been saved, 3,000. They continued steadfastly. Didn't I say just now, a fellowship with God and with God's people is to go on uninterruptedly. Fellowship is so important in the Bible. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what? Do you see it? Can you mark it in your Bible? They continued not only in the doctrine, but in the fellowship. They were in the church. Their lives were linked up, not only by fellowship with God, but that fellowship was enjoyed through communion with God's people. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread they were at the communion service, and also in the prayer meetings of the church in prayer. So fellowship with the church has all to do with how you respond. Whether you're close to the Lord, as you should be, or whether you're going on with God, or whether you're benefiting from God's word, the breaking of bread and prayers. That's part of the fellowship. I tell you, and Mr. Martin has already commented about it, and I have done so also many, many times. We're thankful for the prayer support of God's faithful people in this congregation. But that doesn't say we can rest on our oars. That doesn't suggest that, oh, nobody else can do anything. Oh, not at all. Others of God's people can get along to the prayer meeting also. You can join this praying band. It's part of the fellowship. They continued steadfastly. I like that. It doesn't say in this revival, oh, they went on for the first 3 months, and after that, they were too busy to get to the prayer meeting. Would you let me tell you that if you're too busy to get to the prayer meeting, any one of the prayer meetings in the church, you are too busy. You're just too busy. Your life must conform to what the Lord requires. Doesn't He come first? Then we'll move on. Verse 44. You see, we didn't have believers here, there, and yonder. Somebody pleases himself and away he goes elsewhere without reason. And all that believe were together, verse 44. They were together with one accord. That's the way the blessing came on the day of Pentecost. They were together. Verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I like the singleness of heart as well. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Fellowship with God means also that you have fellowship with God's people. And our text for today, remember, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, what? One with another. And here in Acts chapter 2, in the early church, things appearing at their very best, in an atmosphere of revival, this is what the Lord is saying. Everything is so specific. Continued steadfastly. It's not a matter of getting to the prayer meeting once a year. I'm not suggesting, by the way, you've got to come every single time and you never miss a meeting. No, I'm not saying that. But I think you should be one of the regular prayer meeting people. God blesses the prayer meetings. Do you know that? The Lord blesses the prayer meetings. And many a time I've heard people say in our congregation here, the Monday night meeting is the best meeting of the week. No disparagement to the rest. But this is a fact. God blesses the prayer meetings of the church. That's part of the fellowship. I encourage you today to get your shoulder behind the wheel in this congregation. And let us go on with God. That's part of fellowship. Going on, walking with God in the light of His Word. And everyone can do more. Wasn't it last year? Our presbytery had decided if there would be a watchword for the year, it would be, let's do something more for God. And I want to take that line and use it for this year as well. Let's do something more for God. And so if you haven't managed before, get to some of the prayer meetings, at least some of the prayer meetings in the church. It's part of fellowship. It brings you into the fellowship with God's people that's so important in the Bible. And we should endeavor to guard that fellowship to our very utmost. You recall how the devil sought to attack Job, and he complained of how the Lord had put a hedge round about him and all that he had. The devil had sought to find a hole in the hedge, and he couldn't. He couldn't get through. And he said, Lord, I can't touch him. You put a hedge round about him. And the devil sought by all means to drag Job down from that place where he had been enjoying fellowship with God. That's what he wanted to do. That was the target the devil had set for himself. And the devil knows how to hurt the Christian. And he knows how to hurt the work of God. by spreading division, by causing unpleasantness, by creating coldness in the heart, by causing the child of God here, there, yonder to be discouraged and to say, well, what's the use? You can be sure the devil suggested that. The Lord never put that in your heart. The Lord never put it in your soul to say, well, what's the use? No, that didn't come from God. The believer has this responsibility to check out on things and to say to himself, where am I getting these thoughts? Your thoughts, mine too, have to be generated by what God says in His Word, not what somebody else says. Whether that person's going on with God or whether that person is just walking contrary to God, that's not your source of information. You go to the book of God. You get there on your knees. Remember what I said last Lord's Day. I did allude to this, the importance of getting alone with the book, getting alone with God, and getting a word from the Lord yourself. You have to guard that and pray that the Lord will put a hedge round about you and your family, and pray that the Lord will put a hedge round about this church. Because the devil in the book of Job is seeking to break through that hedge and to destroy the man. That man who lived for God. The devil intended to destroy the man. To destroy also his happiness, his influence, his walk with God. Everything about him, his whole equilibrium, his trust in the Lord, his confidence. The devil had intended to shatter all these aspects of Job's life. And that's why the Lord, listen carefully, that's why the Lord had put a hedge around the man. Because he was in danger. He was in danger. And all the while you and I are in this world, we are in danger. We're not in heaven yet. We haven't arrived in glory yet. And for a little season, this world is the devil's domain. And all the time, this church needs a hedge round about it. And your home needs a hedge round about it. And your life needs a hedge round about it. It's so essential to guard this precious commodity of fellowship with God. Let's go back to 1 John 1 and 7. I have used this thought already, but I just want to explore it a little further. And I'm saying fellowship is preserved and fellowship is sustained by walking with God. Isn't that where the if comes in verse 7? Years ago I did a series on the little word if in the Bible, the various ways in which it comes up in the text. And here you can see the condition is being expressed by the if. If we walk in the light, if we keep on walking. And the light here that is described in verse 7 is the light of God. That is to say, the light of God's Word. The Christian is to walk and to keep on walking. Oh, I wish that I had some rare means of underscoring this in your thoughts. And I wish I could write it on your heart that your fellowship with God is guarded and sustained by constantly walking with the Lord. And that's what the Christian is to do. He's to be walking in the light. Oh, we could change that a little bit and say walking in the sunshine of heaven. That's what I desire. That's my prayer now for my life this day, tomorrow, and all this week. Lord, let me walk in the sunshine. I don't want to walk in the shadow. You can easily tell. You can very easily tell. As soon as you come across that person and you meet them, you know right away whether you're frozen out or whether the warmth, aye, the glow of heavenly sunshine is there. There is such a thing. I'm praying now myself, even as I speak, Lord, give me the sunshine of heaven today. Give me the sunshine of heaven this week. Oh God, do that for my soul. But in the text, the word is light. It's the light of God's word. Are you doing that? Are you walking in the light of God? Are you trying to find out every day as you read your Bible? And by the way, I trust you are reading your Bible every day. You know the wee chorus? Read your Bible, pray every day. If you would follow me, it's part of the chorus. I will make you fishers of men. If there is, there's the wee word again. If you will follow me. And then there comes that little piece, doesn't there? Read your Bible, pray every day. If you would follow me. Absolute simplicity in itself. Absolute simplicity. But oh, so essential for the Christian. You can get to be so busy, you didn't get time to read and pray and weep over God's word. It may be a long time now since the tears flowed when you got alone with God and you opened the book. If so, pray for the recovery of those days. Are you walking in the light of God's word? That is to say, are you doing what God wants you to do? There in verse 6, the last line, do not the truth. Well, what we are to do is the truth. We're to practice the truth. We're to walk then in accordance with the truth, walking in the light of God's word. Are you endeavoring to do that? Because sin can hinder fellowship. I want you to see something. There's the word we have been speaking about in verse 7. Just allow your gaze to progress on to verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. You can't reach perfection in this life. Nevertheless, if there's sin in your life that you have not dealt with, then that particular item is a hindrance to fellowship. It's a hindrance to your fellowship with God. It's a hindrance to your fellowship with God's people. Once you start erring in this matter, you go astray, you get away from God. There are thousands of believers in this country of ours who are out of touch with God. Thousands of them. Who are not going on with God. Who are not walking in the light of God's word. So they've missed their way. They've missed out on the will of God. Don't you know that fellowship suffers on that account? That is no coincidence that this chapter that has so much to do with fellowship, fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people, it's not coincidence that this little chapter of ours should end with talk about sin and sin in the Christian's life and the need to confess, verse 9, that sin and get the matter dealt with. Don't go on with it. Give no place to the devil. And the Christian who's doing that is erring disastrously. Give no place to the devil. That has to do with your thinking, with your whole way of life, I tell you. It's no coincidence that this chapter, which has so much to do with fellowship, should end with the subject of the believer's sin and his accountability. Because if there's sin in your life and you recognize it and you know it's there, you know there's something there that isn't right, then I'm telling you, your fellowship with God is being impaired. And your fellowship with God's people is not what it should be either. I wouldn't doubt but that you're missing out on the prayer meetings. I wouldn't doubt but maybe too, you're so busy you're not getting time with the book. You see, the devil eats into your life. It's just like a canker. It eats into your very soul, and bit by bit, and you'll hardly notice it. until this destroying work is done. Praise the privilege of fellowship with God. And you know, we have talked about guarding it and preserving it and going on with God. We have shown you this. And you go on with God by means of the light of God's word, walking in the light. That's keeping on. Every day, that's a daily thing. Going on from day to day, walking with God. I know God's speaking in this meeting. I know there are souls here now who are exercised about this matter. And it has all to do with fellowship. Their fellowship with the Lord. And for some of you, it hasn't been what it should have been. And God has given me this word now so that he can talk to you about it. Young person, older person, all over this congregation, the Lord has somewhat to say to you. There are some undoubtedly in fellowship with God, but they're not in fellowship with the church, with God's people. Maybe you're even erratic in attendance. You're not pitching into the work. You're away here, there, and yonder. That's not the best thing for the Christian. You didn't get advised by the Lord to do that. But the Lord calls us to a particular work. And he would have us labor there in that field. Do you remember what Boaz said to Ruth? Labor not in any other field. And so Boaz told Ruth right away, there's the field there that you're to work in. And she never had a second thought about it, let it be said. Oh, that's the picture for the Christian. That you want the Lord just to put you right there into the fellowship where you can say for effect, that's where the Lord wants me to be. Praise the Lord. I'm in the fellowship. And I'm enjoying fellowship with God. You see, fellowship comes through the blood. Verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. It's the blood that atones for sin. I rejoice to have those hymns sung today, centering on the theme, the blood of the Lamb. There are many congregations throughout the country where they hardly ever mention the blood, hardly ever sing about the blood of Christ. We have it here in this main part of the church building. We have the witness that God has given in his word, at least part of it, the testimony of God to the blood. The blood of Christ that cleanses the sinner, even the vilest of men, makes the vilest man as white as snow. The power of the blood of Jesus. It's the blood that atones for sin. It's the blood that reconciles me to God and makes me one. That's what fellowship is, you see. It's connected vitally to reconciliation, being made one with God, with not one thing getting in between my soul and the Lord. And here in verse 7, cleansing and keeping on cleansing me from all sin. And we're to enjoy that fellowship. You see verse 4, these things. What things? The things about fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people. These are the things we're writing in the epistle. We're writing about the blood of Christ. The blood of atonement. The blood of reconciliation. The blood that provides cleansing for the believer and enables him to keep on walking in the light. Walking with God. That your joy may be full. There's the joy of God. Why, my time has gone. But I pray the Lord today to bless his word, to bring to you the joy of God. There's a little time in the Bible where it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Men and women, that is the crying need of the hour, that God's people may be filled, not with doubt and fear and hesitation and unbelief or even depression. We heard a wee bit about that just briefly today, but not about that. but filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless His word for His name's sake. Amen.
Let's unite our hearts together at the throne of grace. O God, our gracious and our eternal loving Father, we thank Thee today that our fellowship is with Thee, the Father, and with Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we pray, Lord, we might know fullness of joy that is linked to fellowship with God and fellowship with our fellow man. We acknowledge, our Father, that fellowship is fellows in the same ship. Grant, O God, that we'll not jump overboard, that we'll not jump into some other vessel, but we might stay in fellowship with Thee and with Thy people. We thank Thee for this timely word, and we know that when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. And we ask, O God, we might learn from even that hymn based in Scripture that to trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in the Lord Jesus but to trust and obey. Help us, Lord, to take Thy word to heart today. And Lord, help us, our Father, to have soul searching. Help us to have heart open honesty. And God grant that we may not say we have no sin, for we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins today, Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, let us take Thy word home in our hearts. Help us to rejoice that we have fellowship. We have often sung the words of that great hymn. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Father, part us now in Thy fear and with Thy favour. Watch over each of Thy children and others today, Lord, and this the Lord's day. God, grant that Thou wilt keep us in fellowship with Thyself and Thy Son, and keep us in harmony and unity and fellowship one with the other. We pray, Lord, it will please Thee to bless us throughout today. We pray that Thy people will return again for fellowship in the house tonight. Lord, we wouldn't want to hear a message this morning and not come back this evening. It would be certainly, Lord, an indication if, Lord, we're well and fit and able to come, that we don't desire fellowship with our brethren. We pray, Lord, it'll please Thee to put it upon all of our hearts to return again to the house of the Lord with joy in our soul, that we might meet with Thee and one another in sweet and hallowed and a blessed time of fellowship together. So, Father, hear prayer today and do our hearts good as we leave Thy courts. Take us through today with the blessing of God upon us, and minister especially to those in desperate need. In Jesus' precious name, amen.